It's AM 97 KOI in Portland, and it's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford is thinking of changing his campaign style following his primary losses to Ronald Reagan in Indiana, Georgia, and Alabama. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. White House and campaign aides confirmed a change in strategy is coming, but say they remain confident Mr. Ford will win both the GOP nomination and the presidency. The Reagan campaign continued in motion, with the candidate making some appearances in Nebraska. Barry Serafin has a report.
Reagan appeared subdued after his three primary sweep. Aides said he was tired and that it had been difficult for all of them to sustain the emotional high that began with the Texas primary last weekend. But the challenger was obviously pleased, and in answer to reporters' questions, he spoke of the GOP campaign rhetoric to date in the charitable manner of a winner.
I have taken up the issues. There's nothing in the 11th commandment that says you can't disagree on the issues. The other side has replied to my discussion of the issues with personal attacks. That is a violation of the 11th commandment, but then Mr. Ford said at the beginning that he wasn't going to abide by the 11th commandment.
There will be no Democratic crossover to help Reagan in next week's Nebraska primary. Reagan is thought to be running behind Mr. Ford here, but he says he came from behind in Indiana, too. At any rate, Reagan aides believe he has now recaptured the momentum he lost in this year's early primaries. Barry Serafin, CBS News, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Jimmy Carter emerged from Tuesday's primaries with still more strength in his quest for the Democratic nomination. Carter says he won't slow down his campaign effort and will try to tie the Democratic Party back together. Commenting on Reagan's new strength, Carter said he thinks President Ford is in trouble. According to Carter, Reagan is putting the president on the defensive. In Washington Wednesday night, a top aide to Senator Hubert Humphrey said Humphrey does not intend to endorse any candidate for the Democratic nomination so long as there is competition for the nomination. More news in a moment.
You've listened to the taste of Stock Dry Vermouth. Now listen to the taste of some of the well-known white wines. Notice the similarity? That's because Stock Dry is a crystal clear white wine, and then some. Listen to the exotic herbs we add to it. Just a little, but just enough to add excitement. Here Stock's refreshing delicacy. Notice the subtle suggestion of playful intrigue. Imported Stock Dry is perhaps the ultimate white wine. But enough of listening. It's time for tasting. Try imported Stock Dry Vermouth, chilled straight or on the rocks. Once you do, you'll never listen to another white wine. Stock Sweet and Dry Vermouth, Distillery of Stock, Trieste, Italy.
The Senate has failed by just 3 votes to override President Ford's veto of a child daycare center bill. The House had voted in favor of an override. The bill would have authorized $125 million to help daycare centers around the nation meet the cost of new federal staffing standards, as well as health and safety standards imposed by the states. The president objected to the proposal, saying it would have made permanent some highly controversial and costly standards. He also says it would deny states the flexibility in setting and enforcing their own standards. A report prepared by the staff of the Senate Intelligence Committee says the FBI tried to smear the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. even after his death and had a plan to harass his widow as well. The report says that former Deputy FBI Director William Sullivan described the campaign against King as a rough, tough, dirty business and dangerous. Sullivan was quoted as saying, "We have used similar techniques against Soviet agents." A federal court jury in Charleston, West Virginia, has found Governor Arch Moore and a former aide not guilty on charges of extortion. The jury acquitted Moore and William Loy, who'd been accused of extorting $25,000 from a businessman seeking a state bank charter. Figures that appear in a weekly Soviet publication show the Russians last year ran up a massive trade deficit with the West, amounting to about $4.7 billion. The deficit reveals the impact of massive Soviet grain purchases. The Air Force says a crack was found in a tail support bracket of the controversial new B-1 bomber discovered during a ground test of the plane last week. Now this.
We're the fresh guys.
We're the fresh guys.
We're the fresh guys. We're Wonder Bread. We've got that fresh, fresh feeling. It makes the bread perform. Cause we're the Wonder Fresh guys.
We're wrapped while we're still warm.
That fresh bread feeling really makes us
sandwich store. Cause we're the Wonder Fresh guys. Come squeeze us at your store.
Feel the freshness of Wonder Bread. Enjoy fresh-tasting Wonder English muffins, too.
Come see, there's good news round the corner. Goodyear, wherever you are.
Put new zip into your car with a gas-saving Goodyear tune-up. Just $36.88 includes installing new plugs, points, and condenser, engine timing, and carburetor adjustment for a six-cylinder car. Add $2 if it's air-conditioned. Now at Goodyear for just $36.88. $4 more for most eight-cylinder cars.
Goodyear tires and Goodyear service for more good years in your car.
The 16-day-old strike by the nation's rubber workers is starting to affect auto production. Some car makers are now shipping new autos without spare tires. One of them, the Ford Motor Company, says its new cars will not have spares at all until the strike ends. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 News, as we reported a little bit earlier, the body of an unidentified man has been discovered on the east bank of the Willamette River tonight under the Morrison Bridge. Police have not released the victim's name, but authorities are treating the case as a homicide. Sources say the victim was apparently slain within the last 72 hours, and the cause of death is thought to be from a beating. That's all the details we have right now, and as more information becomes available, we'll give it to you later on this evening with Bill Garrity. The President Ford's committee in the state listed the 10 dignitaries it said would greet Mrs. Betty Ford when she arrives in Eugene, Friday, in alphabetical order, with no additional comment. While Betty Ford is headed toward Eugene to campaign for her husband, the state campaign chairman thinks it is time for all those supporting Ford to get out and work. Craig Berkman said that while his group was concerned about Ronald Reagan's recent string of victories, it was not panicking. However, he said his organization definitely hoped to get out more volunteers for the president to ensure a, in these words, significant victory margin on May 25th. The first official public appearance of the 1976 Royal Court will be a highlight of the annual Portland Rose Festival kickoff luncheon next Wednesday. That'll be at the Sheraton Motor Inn. 1976 Rose Pin will be introduced, and artists' colors, rendering of floats, and the Bicentennial Grand Floral Parade will be on display. Luncheon, incidentally, is open to the public. You can go, as long as tickets, costing $5 each, are still available. Richard Davis, the director of the Department of Human Resources, says solving problems in Oregon's troubled correction system is the department's top priority item. Federal extortion charges against a Portland attorney and two bombings and alleged threat to Standard Oil of California are going to be dismissed. And a woman wearing a leg cast plunged 75 feet from the Burnside Bridge into the Willamette River today, but her jacket saved her life. She's 39-year-old Sharon Trexler of Portland. Weather forecast clearing tonight. Brief morning low clouds, otherwise sunny and warmer Thursday and Friday with lows both nights near 40. Highs both days 65 to 70. Winds will be light. Chance of rain is near zero through Thursday. 50 degrees outside. Stay in touch with 97 News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Age feels that youth is not yet mature enough for responsibility. Youth feels that age has passed its prime. The parents insist they have given too much. The children declare it was never enough. In this matter, as in so many others, the definitive word belongs to Shakespeare. How sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child.
He must not stay here.
Rachel, I cannot believe that you are saying this.
He cannot stay here.
But he is sick. He will die if we send him away.
We must. He can't stay.
Why not?
Because he wants to kill us.
He? This sick, weak, frightened...
I tell you, a ravenous beast has come in here in the shape of this young man.
Rachel, you are saying that he is some sort of demon in disguise? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm not saying any more. I may have said too much already.
Our mystery drama, The Serpent's Tooth, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Norman Rose and Paul Hecht.
It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Allied Van Lines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
There I was with my new Buick Skylark, and there he was, just coming out of the store with a new coffee table. I like your coffee table, I said. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, he said. I like your Buick Skylark, too. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, I answered. Then he suggested, listen, you like my coffee table and I like your Skylark. Why don't we get married? What can I say? I guess it was love at first, Buick.
It's nice to see you join us. We're glad it came to be. Nice to see you join us. Let your spirits free.
Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
You know that feeling when you have a job and you give it everything that you can. It's a good feeling, a real good feeling, getting back what you've been putting in. Yes, it's a good feeling. What's a good feeling when you're doing what you like to do? And it's a good feeling. What's a good feeling when you're working?
If you get the feeling that you've been discriminated against on the job because you're between age 40 and 65, call the folks at the nearest federal wage and hour office today. They're listed under U.S. Government, Department of Labor. This is Diana Trask, and this message has been brought to you as a public service by the U.S. Department of Labor and this station.
Vienna, during the first decade of the 20th century, just a few years away from the First World War and the firestorm that would destroy the empire. Vienna, a doomed city, but you'd never know it. Even Paris didn't shine as bright as Vienna, which had become the first city of the arts. And the stars of Vienna, Mahler, Schnitzler, Zweig, and Sigmund Freud, oh, the arts, the music, the poetry, the literature, the drama. And, of course, once you left the brightly lit boulevards, the poverty. So many people were formed in the crucible of that era in Vienna.
That's it. Just a few steps further, my young friend. Salvation is in sight. Hot food, a comfortable fire, a snug, warm bed. You will not die tonight, my boy. Careful, don't stumble. Here, let me hold your arm. Just a few more steps. Yes. All right. Come. In you go. There you see. Don't you feel better already? Come, stand by the stove. Warm yourself.
Jacob.
Oh, hello, hello, my dear. Good Sabbath.
Good Sabbath? Who is...
He is our guest. Our Sabbath guest. Well, my boy, you feel better? How would you like to wash up? Straight ahead through that door. You see, we have a bathroom. Yes, my boy, we have inside plumbing. Now, just go ahead and refresh yourself. Come, don't be shy. Go ahead.
Who is that?
Rachel.
Where did you find him?
In the gutter.
Obviously.
Rachel, we are commanded to bring home a guest for the Sabbath.
Ah, please.
And he does not have to be well-dressed or respectable.
But there should be limits.
If he is hungry, if he is homeless...
And he's going to sleep here, too?
My dear, this is part of our moral, our religious obligation.
Jacob, there's something about his eyes.
His eyes?
There's a wild, I don't know, something terrible in his eyes.
Of course, that's because he's terrified. He has looked on the face of death.
Now, what kind of nonsense?
He is a youngster who...
Youngster? He's at least 20.
You see, he had decided to die.
What are you talking about?
You know how children are.
He's not a child.
They decide that life is unbearable, and so... well, they lie down and die. And that is what he did, right there in the street.
This is what he told
me. Oh, no, he didn't tell me. He hasn't spoken a single word to me, but I can see it in his eyes.
And there he was, lying in the gutter.
I stumbled over him.
He could have been drugged.
No, not a sign of liquor. I know that if I had not picked him up, if I had let him lie there, Rachel, he would surely have frozen to death.
All right.
Besides, he is an artist.
How do you know?
In this little bag, obviously all he has in the world, a threadbare shirt, some torn socks, and look, paint brushes, pieces of charcoal, and some small sketches. And they're not at all bad. Who knows? We may have saved the life of a future genius. We don't even know your name.
Everybody calls me Addy.
Mm-hmm. You have a surname.
What do you want to know that for?
Oh, it's not really important. Didn't Shakespeare say what's in a name?
Shakespeare. He was an English poet.
Oh, yes.
I don't like him.
What? You don't like Shakespeare?
I hate all English poets. I despise England.
Oh, really? The English are very fine people. Anyhow, you do not have to tell us your name, Addy. And, well, I understand why you don't want to.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm. You're hiding from the police.
What do you mean he's hiding from the police?
Well, Rachel, it's a perfectly normal thing today. Thousands of young men are doing it. You see, they do not want to register for military service. Isn't that true, Addy?
The food is getting cold.
Oh, yes, my dear. We must have the kiddush and the prayers for the bread and the wine.
The bread and the wine. It's like the Catholics.
Oh, are you Catholic?
I was born a Catholic. Where I come from, everybody's a Catholic. But me, I'm nothing.
Come now, Addy. Everybody is something.
Oh, yes. Yes, I shall be something. I shall certainly be something someday. But you see, right now, I don't know what my something is. I can almost see it. Bits and pieces of it exploding in my mind. But so far it hasn't come together to form the picture. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, of course.
And the colors. Also sharp. Blood red. Ebony black. Shimmering white.
Yes, you will be somebody, all right. You will be a great artist.
How did you know I'm an artist?
Well, it is obvious.
It is?
It is written on your face. You have the sensitive features of an artist. The deep, brooding eyes.
You really mean that?
Addy, can we fight fate? Look at what fate has done. Fate has brought you, an artist, to me, an art dealer.
You? You're an art dealer?
Well, I'm not very big or important as an art dealer, but we are well matched. You are not a very big or important painter.
I give you my word. I will never desert you. When I become famous and fabulously wealthy, you will still be my dealer. Shake hands on it.
The soup is getting cold. Jacob, this guest of yours...
Addy.
Well, how long is he supposed to stay?
Oh, well, I...
He's still asleep.
What do you mean he's still asleep?
You left the house this morning, he was still asleep. The morning was gone, he was still asleep. Here it is getting dark, and he hasn't wakened yet.
Well, the poor boy.
Give away.
What?
Give away from me. I know who you are. I know all of you.
What?
Stand back.
What is
this? Yes, this goes on all day.
Give away.
He has nightmares. Although I don't know if he's really asleep. I looked into the room. What? He was sitting on the bed. What's the matter, I asked.
And what did he answer?
Nothing.
You don't know me now, but you will know me.
No,
but
Rachel.
You will know me one day.
Something's the matter.
You're telling me.
I better see what is wrong.
Jacob, please. This boy, this person, he can't stay here.
He is a poor, sick human being.
I'm scared.
Scared of what?
Of him.
Of him. of this pathetic, skinny, consumptive-looking...
Jacob, I'm frightened.
I swear to you, one day I will do something.
He is delirious.
Jacob, don't be impatient with me. But I'm terrified.
Of what?
Of something about him. Something in his eyes.
Oh, he needs help, Rachel. He is a child of God. He needs help.
I see the skull.
Adi, my friend. What is it? It's me, Jacob. What's wrong? Why do you sit there and stare?
I see
like
the skulls.
That?
Gleaming white skulls. The piles of bones shining in the black night. The black night. And the blood. It has dyed the earth red. Burning crimson. Red, white, black.
No, of course, how do you see it? It is the painting in the museum. The painting of death by von der Slay.
No.
Now, come. You better have something to eat. Adi?
White, black.
Adi. Oh, Rachel, he is sick. He needs a doctor.
If he's sick, take him to the city hospital.
Oh, Rachel.
That's what the city hospital's for, isn't it? They have a charity ward.
The charity ward? Oh, no, Rachel. People only go to the charity ward to die.
He's not our responsibility.
Please, don't talk like that in front of him. He's a human being. He has feelings.
He doesn't hear a word you're saying. He's mad. Look at him.
Right.
He's mad.
I'll run out for Dr. Block.
In this weather, you'll catch your death of cold.
No, I'll dress warmly.
But Block is an old man. He'll catch his death.
Don't you understand? We are responsible for this person.
Why?
Rachel, what are we arguing about? We never disagreed on helping another human being before. Why do we fight about it now?
I'll pay for a carriage. Take him to the hospital.
Let me call Dr. Block and we'll see.
Jake.
We will see. I said we'll see.
Come in, Dr. Block. I better get warm at the stove before you see your patient.
Oh, Dr. Block, you shouldn't have come.
Shouldn't have come? But I was told there was a very sick person in this house.
Rachel, what is the matter with you?
Nothing.
But your face, it is so flushed. You look so nervous.
I'm all right.
Where is the patient, Jacob?
Come this way, Doctor. Adi. Adi? Here is Dr. Block.
That's his name?
Black.
Adi?
Yes, Doctor.
He's a fine-looking boy. Very sick, I can tell you that right now, but a fine-looking boy. He has the face of an artist, an intellectual, fine-looking boy.
Doctor, what is wrong with him?
What is wrong with him? Well, it depends on which doctor you ask. You look at that pale skin with the flush just underneath, the rapid breathing. You feel that racing pulse, the vein running down the temple. You see it throbbing.
Yes, but what is wrong with him?
Be patient, I will tell you. Dr. Freud, for instance, this Dr. Freud would say, we see here the classical signs of a deranged personality.
But what do you say, Dr. Block?
I say it's pneumonia.
Pneumonia? That's awful. What are we going to do?
He has to go to the hospital.
How can he go now?
He needs the kind of care only they can give him. Wouldn't he be better off in the hospital, Doctor?
There's no question about it.
Well, you see, Jacob, you see.
But it is too late now. He can't travel in his condition.
He can't?
Move him now, take him out in the street. Now he will die.
You see, Rachel.
Now his only chance is to stay here. Keep warm. I will leave you some medicine, and everybody pray.
I want you to wrap him in blankets, Jacob, and I will call a carriage, and we
Rachel,
will say...
you didn't hear what the doctor said? He will die.
Then, I'm sorry, but he cannot stay here.
But why, Rachel, why?
Because he intends to kill us.
She's a good woman. She's kindly, warm-hearted, and hospitable.
and you could feel the distress in her voice as she spoke those words that sounded so harsh, so alien to her nature. To turn that young man out into the street would, in fact, be a sentence of death. And yet, she could bring herself to pronounce it. But what does she know? Why is she so convinced that their Sabbath guest is a murderer? Well, the second act will soon be with us.
True Value Hardware Stores want you to become an undercover investigator to uncover the values in their new spring and summer catalog. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you that the values on the cover are clues that even more values await you on the inside. True Value Hardware Stores offer a Lawn Chief 3.5 horsepower 20-inch rotary mower for just $97.76. A TruTest 60-foot reinforced vinyl hose for just $6.99. And the Daisy Seal-A-Meal to heat-seal homegrown vegetables in airtight, boilable plastic bags. It's just $8.88. You'll also find the world's funniest-looking broom for just $4.49. It looks like no other broom you've ever seen, and it cleans like no other broom, too. So become an undercover investigator and uncover more than 1,000 values in the True Value Hardware Store Spring and Summer Catalog. If you don't receive one soon, ask for one at your participating True Value Hardware Store. And now you can charge your purchases on Master Charge at many stores.
Here's Mother Teresa of Calcutta, whose sisters work with the sick, the dying, and the destitute of the world.
In India, we are taking care of nearly 46,000 lepers. We are now in 54 cities in India. We go to the people. All our work is going to the people.
Mother Teresa's sisters take care of the crippled and the unwanted. They have feeding centers and more, much of it due to the generosity of the American people.
I'm happy to have this opportunity to personally thank the people of the United States because we have been able to feed so many, to take care of so many. For us, Catholic Relief Service, the people of the United States have been the divine providence.
Catholic Relief Services continues to assist Mother Teresa and her workers. Support CRS, along with the U.S. Catholic Conference Office of Migration and Refugees, as well as other distinguished works of the American bishops, through the American Catholic Overseas Aid Appeal.
Are the eyes the true mirror of the soul? Is what we are really written in our eyes? If so, how clearly? And to whom is it given to be able to read the message? Rachel Cohn looks into the feverish eyes of a mysterious young man, and in them she sees one word written in letters of blood, and that word is death.
I can't believe this is you, Rachel. I cannot believe that this is my wife.
You say this young man intends to kill you?
Oh, Doctor, yes. I see it in his eyes. I'm so frightened.
Of what, red, my dear?
White, black.
Of that?
Of what he mumbles in his sleep?
After you left, Jacob, I came in here to look at him, and I could see those awful colors, red, white, and black, clashing in his eyes. And I ran from the room. I sat down in the chair, and I fell asleep. And I had a nightmare. And those colors were suffocating me. And then you came. You came back with the doctor.
She has been working very hard, Dr.
Quiet, quiet. The young man seems to be waking up.
Dr. Block here. I must not die till my work is done. Save me, Dr. Block, for my mother's sake. Please.
Doctor, is he...
He's fallen asleep, and that is the best thing for him. See that he takes this medicine.
Yes, yes. Rachel, I'm sorry I spoke so loudly to you, but could we turn him out to die? Could we?
I don't want to talk about it.
But we must, because, well, this is so unlike you.
Very well. Suppose some ravenous beast, some deadly, poisonous snake had come in here to live in human form in the shape of that young man.
Do you know what you are saying? Even the most ignorant, superstitious peasants would hardly believe... Dr. Block, I appeal to you.
Why not take her to see this Dr. Freud?
Do you hear what she is saying? That this sickly young man is actually a dangerous, murderous beast in human form. That is what you're saying, is it, Rachel?
I'm not saying anything. I have an idea. I may have said too much already. You're up, I see.
Yes, yes. What a glorious day.
Yes, what little that's left of it.
You don't like me, but I like you. You remind me of my mother. She's dead. You have the same rich, dark hair, the same luminous eyes. What are you staring at?
Nothing.
You are. You're staring into my eyes. What do you see in my eyes?
Now? I see nothing.
Yes. Just like my mother. Beautiful, kind, and strict. Oh, yes, you had to behave yourself around my mother. My father, he was very loud and he threatened, but he never did anything. My mother, she knew just how to punish you, if you deserved it.
Your soup is getting cold.
You and my mother, you always worry about food getting cold. I have an older brother. He will end badly. When he was 13, he was arrested for stealing. And later on, he was arrested again. My mother wrote him a letter in jail. Do you know what she wrote? Ask me.
What did she write?
She wrote, "So you are even a failure as a thief. The only thing left for you to do is hang yourself."
I cannot believe that a mother could have written such a letter.
You're right. She didn't. I wrote it, and I forged her signature.
Ah, you two seem to be getting on famously. Surprise. Surprise and congratulations. Adi, I sold one of your sketches.
What? Which one?
The one that looks like a picture postcard of the opera house.
Oh.
10 kroner. Here.
10 kroner. 10 kroner. Oh, take your commission.
Oh, no, no. I'm waiting for the big ones. Rachel, you see these 10 kroner? Look at them as the advance guard of an army. An army of 10 million kroner.
Congratulations.
Rachel, this young man is a fine artist. And you can turn out scores of these little watercolors, even in bed while you're getting better.
I don't like small sketches.
Oh, yes, but they're very popular.
What do the masses know? The ignorant masses.
People have to be taught.
People have to be whipped.
Oh, Adi, you don't mean that.
I have decided not to paint anymore.
What is this? Here you stand at the threshold of your great success and you say...
No more!
But you can make a good deal of money.
I despise money. Money is the enemy of the creative artist.
You will need money to go to art school.
I have been refused admission.
What? No, no, that's impossible.
The list of all those who would not qualify was posted, and my name led all the rest.
Oh, well, that is... I'm sure that is a mistake. You have a fine potential.
Yes, it is a mistake. And they will pay for that mistake. All those fine gentlemen, all those stupid, evil gentlemen. I shall pay them back. I shall have my revenge.
Yes, yes, of course. Pay them back by becoming famous and successful. That is the best revenge.
I have given up painting to be an architect.
An architect?
The architect shapes the city. Show me the house that man builds, and I will tell you who man is. Yes.
Far be it from me to discourage you, Adi, but that requires money.
Money? How much money?
Oh, hundreds. No, thousands of kroner.
How many thousands?
How many thousands?
5,000.
Oh. Well, I would suppose 5,000.
I can raise 5,000.
You can raise 5,000 kroner? Why, at 10 kroner a sketch, you would have to paint 500.
No. No, I can have the money by Saturday.
Saturday? You say you can raise 5,000 kroner by Saturday?
Yes.
How?
I shall buy a winning lottery ticket.
What do you mean you'll buy a winning lottery ticket?
Isn't the winning ticket worth 5,000 kroner?
But hundreds of thousands of people buy those tickets.
It's no concern of mine.
But your chances of winning are only one in maybe a million.
I shall win.
What makes you so sure?
Because I was born to win. I shall become the most famous architect in the world. It is my destiny.
Well, if you really believe that...
Now, Rachel, why do you feel you must discourage
me? No, Herr Jacob. Frau Rachel is only doing what she must. She is fulfilling woman's purpose, which is to weaken man's resolve.
Ah, dear, I wouldn't exactly say that...
Women, even the angels and the saints, even women like my mother and Frau Rachel, seek to turn man's face from danger, from life as it should be lived.
Well, So, you really believe that you will win the lottery?
If the money is needed to achieve my destiny, then I shall win.
All right. How many tickets do you want me to buy?
What a question, Herr Jacob. What a question. It's only necessary to buy one.
It's time for your medicine.
Thank you, Frau Rachel.
How do you feel?
I think I feel stronger. Yes, much stronger. Would you care to see some of my sketches, my architectural sketches for the new city of Linz?
Do you, you have to do them in color? Red, white, yes. Black. Like, it's as if they're moving, as if they're alive. They keep twisting and changing.
Yes, that's exactly how I see them.
This building here, what is it? It frightens me.
This building?
Yes. Why does it make me think of death?
How did you know?
How did I know what?
Well, that's what it's supposed to be. A house of death.
House of death?
A slaughterhouse. Oh, yes. I know it's not nice to talk about such things in polite company, but it's necessary. These are necessary places, and they must be built.
Well, how is our patient today?
Good afternoon, Herr Jacob.
I bought you a raffle ticket.
Thank you.
I hope it is a winning ticket.
It is.
Why are you so sure?
Because I will it to be.
Oh, you will it.
To a man of iron will, nothing is impossible. My ticket will win.
Well, it looks like a lucky ticket. 3-3-3-7-7-7. 3 is the mystic number. 7 is the lucky number.
Oh, Jacob, what kind of nonsense is that?
It is harmless nonsense, Rachel.
Well, come and have your supper before...
I know. Before it gets cold.
Well, the patient is asleep.
Doctor, I must know, is he still in danger?
Yes. And especially with the weather being so treacherous, I'm worried.
He isn't getting better?
I'm worried about you.
About me? Why?
Rachel, I have never seen a person change so much in such a short time. You look like an old woman.
Thank you.
Your face seems to be ravaged. You are so nervous. Perhaps you need a tonic, yeah?
I need something to make me sleep.
Why can't you sleep?
Because I have bad dreams and they wake me up.
Huh? Bad dreams?
It's like nothing anyone could even dream about. All I know is that there are colors, red and white and black. That's all.
Mm. And how long has this...
You know how long. since that young man came into this house. And I feel what I feel. But that doesn't mean I'm the one who's crazy.
Rachel. Oh, and Dr. Block. Oh. Oh, do I have news? Tremendous news. Fantastic news. Rachel, see if you can guess.
But tell it or don't tell it.
Oh, this is not something you just blurt out. This is something to be savored. I'll give you a hint. It concerns Adi.
It turns out he's Prince Franz Ferdinand in disguise.
That's impossible. He doesn't have a Habsburg chin.
Oh, the two of you. No imagination. This young man is now someone worthy of respect. This is a young man of sensational personal power. This is a man who can will things into being.
Will you please?
Remember he said that he could will the winning ticket? The numbers were posted this afternoon. Remember his number. Remember. 333-777. That number is worth 5,000 kroner, just as he predicted, just as he willed it.
The power of the mind. How do you account for it? So the rational people among us have the solution. Either the wheel was fixed, or it was a coincidence. And then, of course, we have the other alternative, which seeks the psychic solution. Well, when I return shortly with Act 3, I promise you an answer.
Moving on with the allied spirit, going to a brand new town. You're leaving the fast miles behind you, with all our van lines, you're homeward bound. Hello, tomorrow, I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day. I've got the allied spirit, and it feels like I'm going home. New friends to make, new seeds to sow. With allies and lines, I'm raring to go. Hello, tomorrow, I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day. I've got the allied spirit, and it feels like I'm going home. Hello, tomorrow, I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day. I've got the allied spirit.
Let the Allied spirit move you. See the yellow pages for the nearest Allied Van Lines agent.
The great and powerful wizard invites you to step forward and be heard.
Yes, well, Your Excellency, you remember how you gave the Scarecrow a brain and the Tin Man a heart?
Of course I remember. You don't forget a thing like that overnight, you know.
Yes, well, I'm here for a long.
Hello?
I'll take two if you'd rather not break up the set.
And what's wrong with the ones you got?
Shot.
What?
From breathing dirty air and...
Well?
Smoking cigarettes.
Cigarettes?
Mm-hmm.
You mean you allowed a pair of perfectly productive pink lungs to be pervaded by the perils of puffing?
Yes, Your Omnipotence.
In that case, my ignominious ingrate, you don't deserve to have your wish granted.
Oh, but Your Highness.
The great Nas has spoken.
The great who?
I said, Nas has spoken. That's what you get for smoking. On you, I wouldn't waste my wizarding.
Yes, but...
If you wanted healthy lungs, you should have learned when you were young to observe my signs that say...
Yes?
Nasmo King.
Nasmo...
Oh. This reminder from your lung association is a matter of life and breath.
Can we determine the shape of the future? In a general way, the answer is yes, of course. Our actions today will create our tomorrow. But on another level, can we determine the fall of a card if our fingers do not hold the deck, or where the wheel will stop if our hand does not spin it? In other words, can we will the outcome of an event through the psychic forces of our own mind?
Can you imagine? Come, let us tell him. Tell him that his prediction has come true. He won the lottery. Doctor, is he well enough to hear such news?
It is sure to make him better.
Adi. Adi, are you awake?
Oh, good evening, Herr Jacob.
Adi, you were right. How right you were. Do you know what happened? You won the lottery.
Oh.
Oh? You mean you win 5,000 kroner and all you can say is, oh?
Why are you so excited, Herr Jacob?
Why? Well, because... Well, it's the money you said you needed.
I no longer need that money.
Oh, you think you don't? You young people, you believe the world spins on love and ideals.
No, not I.
Well, be on the safe side and put the money in the bank. If you give me your ticket, I'll cash it in for you.
My ticket?
Yes, you have the winning ticket. I'll be 3377. Where is it?
Where is it?
Don't tell me you lost it. No. How could you lose it? You have not been out of the house.
I didn't lose it.
That is something to be thankful for. Come, where is it?
I destroyed it.
Ah, no. You what?
I tore it up and I threw it away.
You tore it up? When?
The day before yesterday.
But why?
Because I don't think I shall become an architect.
But I thought you wanted to because it was your destiny.
A man can change destiny.
But would that be a reason to tear up a lottery ticket?
Yes.
No, I don't understand.
Herr Jacob, why did I buy the lottery ticket?
Because you wanted to win the first prize, 5,000 kroner.
Why?
Why? Because it would be necessary for your architectural career.
Yes. But since I do not intend to be an architect at this time, there is no need for the money. And I lost interest in the ticket.
But you didn't have to throw it away.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Why?
Because I'm afraid I would be seduced.
Seduced by what?
By money. Money is the most obscene, the most demoralizing, the most destructive prostitute of all.
No. Adi, it is how money is used. Money is not the root of all evil. If you read your Bible carefully, you'll see that it says, love of money is the root of all evil.
With all due respect, Herr Jacob, it is the Bible that is the root of all evil. The Bible of Judea and the Bible of Rome. It unmans us all with its false comfort for the weak and the meek.
Well, I'm sure if you read it carefully, both testaments, mine and yours...
I have no testament. But I have seen the weak and the meek. I have starved in the gutters with the weak and the meek. And why are they weak? And why are they meek? And why do they starve? Because they have been fooled. They think it will all be made up to them in another world, a better world. But this is the only world there is.
Adi, if you do not intend to become an architect, what is it that you want to do?
Oh. Oh, I have already decided that. I have chosen a very important endeavor. I am going to write an opera.
How long, Jacob?
Ah, these tiny cakes. They are delicious, Rachel. They have never been so...
Don't good. Change the subject. How long?
Well, the boy is sick.
How many times must you be told he's not a boy?
If you do not believe that he is sick, just ask Dr. Bloch.
Yes. He's still sick. But he can be moved to a hospital.
Rachel, do you realize that from the split second he came into this house, you took a severe dislike to him?
I can't help it. Maybe I can see into the future.
That is impossible.
But these terrible colors, red, black, and white...
What is so terrible about red, black, and white?
I see them in his eyes.
Imagination, pure and simple.
I'm saying he has some kind of power.
Give me an example.
If you want to talk about it. Let's really talk about it. It's my fault.
Ah, what are you saying?
I was never able to give you what you wanted more than anything else in the world. A son.
Ah, Rachel.
And so you look for that son. Everywhere. In every young man.
Ah, Rachel.
We have to talk about it, Jacob. You need a child to love, to teach.
But, Rachel...
Please, don't make this any more difficult for me than it is now. I know what you see in him. Brilliance, yes. But I see something else. Evil.
Rachel.
I can't help myself.
Rachel, he has such enthusiasm, such fire, such raw energy, but such confusion. He needs to be directed. I want to direct him. Oh, I can help him, Rachel.
Jacob. Let me say this, just this, and I shall never again say another word against him. A snake.
Oh, please. please.
A deadly, poisonous snake is somehow trapped in the bitter winter cold, and it becomes dormant. But warm it, and feed it, and its eyes open.
Roach, I cannot permit you to...
And you think you have won him over with your kindness. But he is a snake. It's not his fault. And sooner or later, when he has enough strength to strike, he obeys the urging of his very own nature. He must. I know what you're going to say, Jacob. But God help me. And God forgive me. This is what I see.
Oh, Frau Rachel.
What are you doing out of bed?
Well, I was feeling a bit stronger this morning.
Uh-huh. I didn't know you played the piano.
Oh, yes. I have a friend back in Linz, August Kubizek, a Gustl. He's a musician. You'll meet him one day. I would listen when he took his piano lessons, and that's how I learned.
You play very well.
Yes, but I don't know how to write music. You see, I am able to compose music, but I don't know how to write it.
Well, you could learn.
I have no time. I have so much to do. Do you write music, Frau Rachel?
A little.
Ah, well, would you help me write down my opera? It's the kind of opera Wagner would have written. He should have written it, but he didn't. And so I shall. All the music is running through my head.
Do you have a name for the opera?
I have the name, the story, everything. It's called Wieland the Smith. It's the ancient heroic legend of Wieland. You see, one day, the wicked king cruelly, carelessly lames Wieland for life. And Wieland takes his terrible revenge. He rapes the king's daughter, he kills the king's sons, and then uses their skulls as drinking cups for wine.
But, isn't that somewhat...
And in a glorious climax, he hammers a pair of wings in his forge, and he flies away. Can you see that shining moment?
What is the purpose?
Revenge! Wieland the Smith is the personification of revenge. Implacable, ruthless revenge!
But is it necessary to be so violent?
Yes. Violence, storm, stress. Wasn't that how the world itself was created?
Well, there are beautiful things in this world, too.
Yes, Frau Rachel, I agree. And the most beautiful thing of all is violence.
Rachel, I came as quickly as I could.
Couldn't you find Dr. Block?
No, he's with some patient somewhere. Tell me, what is wrong?
Adi, I'm worried.
You? Worried about Adi?
Well, perhaps I was... Well, I don't know. All day, he's sitting in his room. He doesn't say a word. He doesn't move a muscle. I speak to him. He doesn't hear.
What could it be?
And those colors keep throbbing in his eyes. Those terrible shades of red, white, and black.
But he seemed so calm, so happy. I thought he had found himself in music, finally. And it is good music, isn't it, Rachel?
But it's wild music. It has a strange power.
Adi?
Good afternoon, Herr Jacob.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
Well, you're dressed to go out. Is that wise?
I must go, Herr Jacob.
Where?
Where? My destiny leads me.
And what does that mean?
Your opera. Shouldn't you finish
that? There are so many more important things in this world.
But it's good, it's good.
Adi, I say this only in your own best interest, but you must learn how to stick to something.
I am. I'm holding on to my destiny.
Who? Who is it?
Hey!
They're after me.
Into the other room, quickly.
Open up, Ezra!
I'm coming. Yes?
This is the home of Jacob Cohn and his wife, Rachel Cohn.
Well, yes, Inspector. Won't you come in, please?
And who else lives in this house?
Who else?
You know the law. All persons domiciled in an establishment must be registered with the police.
Well, there's just the two of us.
Well, that answers one question. The second question, you are Jacob Cohn, the art dealer.
Yes.
We are looking for a young man who has not reported for his military service. We have here his photograph. Have you seen him?
Why should I have seen him?
They have reason to believe he's an artist. He may have tried to sell you some pictures. Examine the photo, please. Have you seen him?
No.
And you, Frau Cohn?
No.
Very well. If you should ever see this young man, should he ever approach you, it is your duty, as loyal subjects of His Majesty the Emperor, to notify the police.
Yes. Yes, Inspector, we understand.
His name is Hitler. He's also known as Adi.
Yes, Inspector.
That is all. Good day to you.
Good day, Inspector. Good day. Wait. Let me make sure he's gone. All right, Rachel, it's clear.
Adi, he's gone.
Thank you. No one has ever done anything like that for me before.
It is nothing.
It's everything.
But is it safe for you to go?
I know how to avoid the police. Good friends. Kind friends, I must leave you.
Yeah.
Where will you go?
I cannot stay still, remain in one place. I must always move. I can never be at rest, at peace.
You get older. You'll look forward to a little peace and rest.
You'll come back. You'll see us sometime.
Oh, yes, I'll come back, Frau Rachel. Herr Jacob, I give you my solemn oath. I shall come back.
And he did. Almost 3 decades later, he came back in a swirl of the red, white, and black. A sea of red, white, and black banners. A stark black swastika centered in a pale white circle against the blood-red field. He came back to realize his vision. The gleaming white bones shining in the pitch black night, while the earth had turned a burning crimson. I shall be back, but for a more peaceful purpose, in just a few moments.
The Jovan fragrant collection, because you feel a little different every day.
Jovan Musk Oil is dedicated to the proposition that all musks are not created equal. Maybe that's why Jovan Musk Oil perfume has become the fragrance rage of the decade. It's earthy and sensuous. A beautiful floral with a sexy musk base that's triggered by body heat, making it one of the longest lasting fragrances in the world. Jovan Musk Oil perfume. The only musk oil that's dedicated to the proposition.
Oh, Jovan fragrance collection.
Fragrance collection is available at cosmetic counters at America's finest stores.
Invariably, when we present a story of someone who actually lived, we are asked, is it true? Well, we could say that truth is relative, subjective, and elusive. But that would be begging your question. And so, the answer is, yes, it's true. It's true in all of its basics and most of its facts, which is what we strive to do here 7 times each week. Our cast included Norman Rose, Paul Hecht, Ann Shepherd, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Tell me what it is you want to achieve with transposition science.
Well, this may sound dumb, but I want things.
Things don't necessarily make us happy.
Oh, I know that. I'm not unhappy. I love my husband. We have a good life. But I'm so bored. I want some glamour.
Not such a tall order.
Oh, for me it is. There's no getting out of a rut. That's why I thought you could help me. After what you did for Grace.
Yes. Dear Grace has almost achieved her heart's desire.
Almost? I'd say she's there now.
Oh, there's more for her. Because she believes.
Can you help me, Dr. Sudlow?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Jovan Collections for women and for men. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is AM 97 KOIN Portland. Bill Garrity and the Moonwatch follow CBS News at 12 midnight.
CBS News. Henry Kissinger addresses the UN Conference on Trade and Development today in Kenya. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Kissinger is expected to propose a far-reaching program aimed at attacking poverty in developing countries, including the creation of a multi-billion-dollar international resources bank to channel private investment funds to developing countries. After the speech in Nairobi, Kissinger plans to fly back to the United States with stopovers in Crete and Paris. With more on the secretary's efforts to encourage a negotiated settlement of tensions in Africa, here's Bernard Kalb.
On the eve of his departure from Africa, Kissinger shifted his attention from the UN Conference on Trade and Development to the problem of Rhodesia. He conferred with representatives of the four African so-called confrontation states against that white minority-ruled country. The four, Botswana, Mozambique, Tanzania, and Zambia. It was the first such meeting between Kissinger and the quartet leading Black Africa's struggle against Rhodesia, where whites are outnumbered by blacks by about 20-1. Among the five, there is no disagreement about black majority rule emerging in Rhodesia. There is, though, a difference on how to achieve it. The four, talking in terms of war having started to topple the white regime in Rhodesia, the U.S. talking in nonviolent terms. American sources said Kissinger told the four countries that the United States cannot support armed struggle, that the United States favors a negotiated solution with assurances for minority rights. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Nairobi.
CBS News continues after this.
The French call it an apéritif. In America, it's the appetizer you drink. Either way, Dubonnet goes before.
Before, that's the time to say I'll have a glass of Dubonnet. Before a meal by day or night, Dubonnet is always right. Before, yeah, before. It's the time for Dubonnet.
Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. And whether you call it an aperitif or an appetizer, the proper time to enjoy its distinctive taste is before. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's a wine that's right for your appetite. Dubonnet Before. Made to make what comes after that much better.
Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
A product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
As a result of his primary defeats in Indiana, Georgia, and Alabama, President Ford is reassessing his campaign strategy. Betty Ford is in California campaigning for her husband. That state's primary is about a month away. Lee Thornton in San Francisco has a report.
Mrs. Ford says the Indiana outcome was a disappointment, but she says it is not going to determine the outcome of the election. Asked if she considers Ronald Reagan front runner, she said Reagan may be at this point. But the First Lady says she's waiting until all the votes are in. Mrs. Ford is spending much of the week in California, meeting mostly with Ford campaign workers. In Sacramento, she filed the names of the 167 delegates pledged to support President Ford if he wins the state's June 8th primary. The First Lady says her confidence is not shaken, and she says the Ford track record for the past 18 months should be enough for the voters. Lee Thornton, CBS News, San Francisco.
Ronald Reagan is now in the lead for the first time in the number of committed delegate votes to the Republican presidential nominating convention. Vice President Nelson Rockefeller says he doesn't believe Reagan will get the nomination, and even if he does, Rockefeller says he doesn't believe he will win in the election in November. He says Reagan has taken some extreme positions in a country where most of the voters are in the middle of the road. CBS News continues after this message.
Champ Martin, Little League coach. How do you spell relief?
When I get acid indigestion, I spell relief. R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Rolaids.
Missy Smith, switchboard operator.
For gas, I spell relief. R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Each Rolaids consumes 47 times its weight in excess stomach acid. Captain Allen, helicopter pilot. How do you spell relief?
For heartburn, R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Use only as directed.
Hi, this is Andre Fisher with Rufus. Here's a question for high school juniors and seniors. What does NROTC mean to you? Well, the letters stand for Naval Reserve Officers Training Corps. And if you qualify, that could mean your college tuition and a cash allowance besides. Interested? Okay, ask your high school counselor or see your local Navy recruiter or just dial 800-841-8000 toll-free for details.
Five men are in custody in Sioux City, Iowa, in connection with the shooting of American Indian Movement leader Russell Means. Two have been charged with attempted murder. Means was shot with another man at a housing project Wednesday afternoon. Both are reported in satisfactory condition following surgery. Means was free on bond after being convicted earlier on riot charges in Sioux Falls. One condition imposed by the judge was that Means refrain from participation in any AIM activities. Officials now want to know what Means was involved in when he was shot. Rita Sands, CBS News.
6 minutes after 12 midnight on a Thursday morning, May 6th. Good morning, my name's Bill Garrity. This is Music Radio 97 and the Moon Watch. I'll have local news for you at 12:30, just 24 minutes from now.
Sunshine, goodbye rain. She turned my school ring on my chain. She's my steady, I'm her man. I'm gonna love her all I can. Take a thought, you be mine. Take a thought, you be mine. Gonna cruise her around the town. Show everybody what I'm found. Rock and roll with all my friends.
That's Happy Days with Pratt and McLean with Brother Love on Music Radio 97. It's 9 minutes after 12 midnight. The weather forecast for Portland, Vancouver, sunny and warmer today and Friday. After brief morning low clouds, lows near 40 degrees, highs both days 65 to 70. Northwest winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of measurable rainfall near zero through Friday. Right now it's partly cloudy in the Rose City, a temperature of 48 degrees. Winds are northwest at 8 miles per hour. Barometric pressure is 30.26 inches and rising. And the relative humidity is 66%. A walk through Portland's rhododendron gardens is a great way to celebrate spring. The annual Mother's Day Rhododendron Show will be open Saturday, May 8th at noon to 6 p.m. and continue Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The event is sponsored by the Portland chapter of the American Rhododendron Society. The gardens are located at Southeast 28th and Woodstock at Eastmoreland Golf Course. Let's listen to the music. Tell a friend about COIN.
We sailed on a dream, on a crystal clear ocean, right on the crest of a wild raging storm. To work in the service of life and the living, in search of the answers to questions unknown. To be part of the movement, part of the growing, part of beginning to understand. I could absorb the place that you've been through, the things that you show us, the stories you tell.
Searching for an honest man. Oh, it's crisis time.
searching for some energy. Gee, oh, that devil moon, how can you create when you can't stay in tune? Because he knows how to give me gifts from above.
Side of